Our sermon this evening is our Psalm of the Month, Psalm 36b. This is verses 5 through 12. Please join me in Psalm 36, starting with verse 5. In Psalm 36, we see the word that's translated loving kindness. For the sake of this sermon, and in general, I invite you to consider that word loving kindness to be grace. It's the grace that we are shown in Christ Jesus, and for now I'll be translating it that way. Psalm 36b, starting with verse 5. Your grace, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your grace, O Lord! And the children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They drink their fill of the abundance of your house. You give them to drink of the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Oh, continue your grace to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come upon me, and let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the doers of iniquity have fallen. They have been thrust down and cannot rise. Pray with me. Our Father, help us as we run into your arms to hear what you are saying to us, as you speak to us the very words of life. Encourage us, enrichen us, make those parts of our hearts that have been hard and dead alive, to hear you and to know you, to love our neighbors, that you will be glorified as we take these steps towards you, as your kingdom comes even into our hearts, as we live and as we love in your name. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at this psalm, we see the same thing that we see in all other portions of Scripture. It is Christ speaking directly to us. It is Christ announcing reality, that we who have been born in darkness, that we who have been born into sin, would look and see, and that our hearts would be made alive, that we would be thinking in accordance with reality, that we would be thinking in accordance with true love for God, in accordance with true love for our neighbors. In a sense, Christ here continues to speak. And he shakes us gently and says again, wake up. Arise. Look and see light. Look and see love. Perhaps you can remember those times where someone had died when Christ walked the earth as a man. And he would be brought into a chamber and he could take a little girl's hand and say, little girl, I say to you, arise. Here Christ speaks to us those words. Here Christ speaks to us and he invites us to come to that light and to come to that truth. And here as we look at this, we see life in his loving kindness. We look and we see life in his grace. And as we look and as we see these things, we realize all of a sudden, this is where I live. I live in the light of life. This is where I live. I live in grace. This is where I live. I live in the Father's favor. This beautiful gift that has been given to me because of mercy, because of his love, because of his son. So I call out to you this evening to humbly stand in this grace, to humbly stand in mercy, to humbly stand in his love. And that humility that we have in Christ Jesus will shine forth in our lives. We will show it to other people. We will have a steadfastness in our lives. He has given us not a spirit of timidity or of fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of self-control, that we will shine with the light of Christ, that we will shine with the light of life that is eternal, that is everlasting, that is, it will never be snuffed out. It'll never diminish, but it'll shine brighter and brighter through the course of your life as you walk in Christ Jesus. So our first step is to see His grace as greater than creation. We look at this world and perhaps we think, oh, that's the real world. As we see the skies, as we see the mountains, as we see the things around us. Well, we look and we see in verse 5, your loving kindness, or your grace, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the sky. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. We see His power there and we understand His presence there. If we move to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, we would see that God is even upholding all of these things by the word of His power. We can look at the scripture and understand the things that have been made by the things which are not seen. It is Christ has spoken. Christ holds the pew together that you are sitting on. Christ holds you together right now. And we look at all the vastness of creation and we say, all of this is being held together by Him right now. We expressed it this way in Psalm 19. The heavens tell of the glory of God. This is the reality. When we look at a sunset, we are to rightly think, this is announcing the glory of God. When we see a great mountain scene, we are to say, this is announcing the glory of God. That is His power, His love, His control over all things, and His grace and His patience are being displayed through what has been made. We are in a right place when we look and we marvel at what He has made. Romans 1:20 expresses it this way. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, and His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. Look at the creation and say, His eternal power, His divine nature, the glory of our Heavenly Father tells us that as we see these things and as we would understand these things, we are without excuse. I've told the story of the night when we were camping in the Rocky Mountains and it seemed as if we almost died climbing that day, being stuck on the ledge of a mountain. That night as we tried to sleep in our tents and I had gotten up and went out in the middle of the night and I walked down to the edge of the lake and the stars looked like nothing else I had ever seen. They were so bright and so brilliant and I looked down into the lake that was in front of us and the stars were reflected in the lake and the mountain was reflected in the lake. And I thought of Psalm 36. I thought, your righteousness is like the mountains. Your decrees are like the great deep. And as I looked at the reflection of the mountain and saw the snow on the sides of it, up both above and down below, I thought, your righteousness is like the mountain that almost killed me and my sons yesterday. Your righteousness is so great, so vast, so powerful. Your love is like the deeps. We look at the great deeps. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like a great deep, O Lord. And yet we have not been consumed. We see His grace in His greatness and that we are still here. The vastness He displays and all that He has made. Our next step is see all life as evidence of His care. Verse 7. How precious is your grace, O God, and the children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. We'll move back to the verse 6, that last line. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. Take that in for a moment. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. I really enjoy looking at nature. I'm excited as I go for my morning walks. It will be very soon as I walk along the creek, the frogs will be jumping into the creek. As I walk through the woods and as I move along, I will see these beautiful things. There was a man that I had spoken to. He didn't like driving in the country. And I asked him, why? Why don't you like driving in the country? He said, there's wild animals. And I said, so what? And he said, they run across the road in front of you. This was nightmarish for him, that there were these threats that would run across the road as he would drive in the country. He lived in the city. Well, we look here and we see that as God preserves man and beast, you can look as a groundhog runs across the road or the squirrel runs across the road. You can look and say, God preserves that squirrel. God preserves that groundhog. You can hear the birds singing in the air and say, God preserves that bird. Everything that we see, God preserves man and beast. You can look at your simple pastor and say, God even preserves him. That everything that is alive, everyone who is alive, is intentionally alive. God preserves man and beast. We look through this room even now, and we can see the works of God, the wonders that he has done. All of it points to him. And when we are thinking correctly, we thank him for it. When we are thinking correctly, we praise him for it. When we're thinking correctly, we worship him for all that he is doing. This past week, we heard of a death of a man that we had ministered to. And there were different times that I had spoken to him. And frankly, his body was so ravaged by his sin, I expected him to be dead long ago. Long ago, when I had seen him last, a couple of years ago, I marveled that he was still alive as he hobbled along. When I told one of my sons, I mentioned this to him, he said, yeah, I expected him to be dead a long time ago. And I said, yeah, I've been marveling at God's patience towards this man all this time. And that made me pause. Because he's shown just as great patience with me and continues to show such patience with me. And we are reminded from Scripture that God's patience is meant to bring about repentance. You and I are each still alive because of his grace, his loving kindness, each still alive because of his patience. And we see here that those who love him, those who are trusting him, are taking refuge in him. This is the beautiful place in which we live, in his loving kindness, in his grace. So our next step, as we are being kept alive, as God is keeping everyone and everything alive that is alive, I invite you to learn to be nourished in his house. As is often the case in Scripture, we look at the greatness of God, and sometimes we look specifically at the sinfulness of man. We look at the grace that is present in the church and the grace that is present in our lives and in the world. And God's believers are brought to a place of worship. God's believers are brought to the place where they are singing to him. They are brought to the temple. They are brought to the assembly. They are brought to sing him his praise. This psalm is no different. We look here where we are learning to be nurtured in his house. Verse 8, they drink their fill of the abundance of your house, and you give them to drink of the river of your delights. What is God's household? Well, we could run and we could look in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to the end of that chapter. And it's described to us there and then that the church is the household of God. We are to be being nourished within the household of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 describes to us that we are to be caring for one another. I am to be caring for you. You are to be caring for me. This one another I've described before, it's that Greek word that sounds the opposite of us caring for each other. The Greek word is all alone, which sounds like you're all alone. But it's the opposite of that. It's a reciprocal word that we don't have in our English language. Me for you and you for me. We are living and providing and caring for one another. When I try to type that one another as one word, my Microsoft Word says that's not a thing. That's two words. That's not a thing. Well, it is a thing in the Greek. One another. Me for you. You for me. We are to be being nourished in his house, caring for one another. It's expressed further in verse 9. For with you is the fountain of light, life. In your light, we see life. What is the fountain of life? There is the expectation that we will be finding this in the midst of the church. That there will be eternal reality being expressed in our midst. That we will have leaders and protectors in our midst. That we will have servants in our midst. All of us serving each other, caring for one another, as we read in Hebrews this morning, chapter 10, spurring one another on in love and in good deeds. That we will be a body knit together, working together, providing from the gifts that he has given us. This is a beautiful picture. And it is to be the picture of the household of God where we are being nourished together. Our next step is simply shine. Verse 9, the second portion. In your light, we see light. Well, the reality is all light belongs to God. What shines is supposed to be from him. True light does shine from him. Christ had made the statement, I am the light of the world. That he shines in such a way that we see reality. He shines in such a way that we see life. We know what is. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's described in such a way that as this light is shining on us, we will also have it as a part of us, that Jesus speaks to us and says, you are the light of the world. Do your good works in such a way that they will be seen by men and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That we receive this light, we live in this light, we have the scripture, we follow this, and therefore we shine. Psalm 37, 6 describes it this way for you. He will bring out your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. Consider how beautiful it would be if the testimony concerning you was, he's a light. She is a light. A light shining in a dark place. A joy, a delight. I have described before how strange it was for me coming into the RP family and coming into the midst of people who were raising their children to love one another. I grew up in the area where we watched the sitcoms, and the message of the sitcoms was something like, siblings exist for you to torture and for you to enjoy yourself as you torture them. And I bought into that. And it was here, standing back there in that room, probably roughly 14 years ago, when I asked a young man, a Geneva student, a freshman, who his best friend was. And he said, it's got to be my sister. I nearly staggered backwards because I certainly could not have said that at any point in my young life. It's got to be my sister, he said. Years later, his sister became a student at Geneva, and she came over, and I was pretty curious, and I walked up and I said, so, who's your best friend? She said, I'd have to say my brother. I stumbled backwards again. Could it be that siblings could love one another and that they could be each other's best friend? Within the household of God, it is the expectation that as you and I are brothers and sisters, we will be each other's best friends. That we would shine in such a way in the lives of our siblings, that we would shine in such a way in each other's lives, that we're actually nourishing each other, caring for each other, blessing each other, extending a blessing and not a curse. Now, obviously, this is always going to take some friction. to move forward. There will be tension in our lives. As we think about our closest neighbors, aren't there tensions with our closest neighbors? It will always be the reality when we're actually a part of each other's lives. So this brings us to our fifth step, which is grow in grace and knowledge. Verse 10. Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you. What does it mean to know Christ? How deeply do each of us know him? Yesterday when we were at our picnic, I observed a father give instruction to one of his children, and they shrugged as they walked along and said, "I know." The father and I looked at each other, and we could just kind of snickered to ourselves. And we thought, oh, you know, do you? I know. I've known a lot of people. When anything you had to tell them, they would just say, "I know." I wonder how often when God speaks to us, we just shrug and say, "I know." How often do you sit in the pew and hear me say a familiar word or a familiar line or read a familiar scripture and you think, "I know. I know. I've got that down." How deeply do any of us really know the depth and the riches of the knowledge of God, which is in Christ Jesus? Can't we see that you and I have an eternity of school ahead of us? Not in a bad way. You and I have an eternity of relationship ahead of us with our Heavenly Father and with Christ, where we have the opportunity to grow in the grace and knowledge of Him. The Scripture tells us that we are to live in the land and we are to cultivate faithfulness as we grow in Him, as we understand the depths of Him, as we learn to understand His deep love, and as we understand His grace more and more. And that knowledge of Him will change us. It'll be a strength for us. It'll be a depth of character. It'll be a beautiful wisdom that we live in as we are able to love in His name. Now there is a challenge and there is a threat to you growing in this beauty. A challenge and a threat to your beauty. A challenge and a threat to your grace and the grace in which we are called to live. And we see that threat there in verses 10, 11, and 12. The second part of 10. Continue your righteousness to the upright in heart. And then the next part. Let not the foot of pride come upon me. There's no dampener to grace like pride, where we would shrug when we hear the word and say, "I know." When instruction or warning is given to us and we shrug and say, "I know." Whether it be from your closest neighbor or your parent or an elder, "I know." We're to be in the place where we are eager to grow, where we are eager to change, where we are eager to repent. We see the terrible place of the person who will not repent at the end of verse 12. They have been thrust down and they cannot rise. That would be the person who is actively rejecting Jesus Christ as the prophet, as the priest, as the king, as our Savior, the one who will not hear His voice. We see this as a destruction for those who will not repent. I remind you of James 4:6. God is opposed to the proud. But the second half of that verse is the same hope that we see through all of this psalm. But He gives grace to the humble. I invite you to that place where you are confident that you are standing in grace. That you are confident that you stand in His loving kindness. Where you are confident that you are standing in His faithfulness, in His truth, as you were relying solely on His Son, Jesus Christ, that we would come together, loving one another, caring for one another, supporting one another as the body of Christ, as the church. And we are able to sing together, "Your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens, Your faithfulness to the sky." It is our hope. It is our confidence. It is the river of delight. It is the light of our lives, the light of our eternity. It is our place in Christ as we stand together in grace. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you again for your loving kindness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for having loved us and having spoken to us tonight in that place of mercy, that place where we are received, that place where we are invited to drink of the rivers of your delights. Thank you, Father, for your patience. Thank you for your love. Thank you for eternal life that is abundant. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.